Penguin Random House Audio presents The Kids Are All Left, How Young Voters Will Unite America by David Ferris. Read for you by Vikas Adam. Note to listeners, this program includes a downloadable PDF that contains charts and graphs from the book. For my sweet, beautiful Anoush, and the world I hope to leave you. Introduction. The Republican Party is screwed. Picture yourself for a moment as the commissioner of Major League Baseball, tasked with guarding the fortunes and traditions of the national pastime. You are in Kansas City's Kauffman Stadium on a long, languid, humid summer afternoon, enjoying a hot dog and a Boulevard tropical pale ale when one of your newest underlings, an adorably awkward math major fresh out of MIT, plops down into the seat next to you with some alarming news. "Our fan base is quickly dying," he says. He shows you a thick binder full of data that confirms your worst fears, the sort of worries you'd prefer to set aside while enjoying the Royals-Tigers game unfolding in front of you. Most of baseball's hardcore fans, the ones who buy tickets for the games, pay $150 a month for their monthly cable subscription to catch tilts on TV, and spend their free time in fantasy leagues full of their college friends, are over 50. Americans under 30, especially in growing demographics like Latinx fans, are choosing soccer or basketball over baseball. The underling is blunt. "In 20 years, we will be ice hockey," he warns, a sport intensely beloved by a tiny minority, but mostly ignored by the larger culture. "In 20 more, we'll be boxing." He hands you a bullet-pointed list of ways to address this problem, refuses your offer of a beer — young people aren't drinking much these days, after all — and walks away. Instead of doing the sensible thing and following his advice, like ramping up youth league efforts, financing underserved communities, quickening the game's pace, promoting the sport's diverse stars, and perhaps placing major league franchises in Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and other places where baseball remains wildly popular, you make a stunning gamble by doubling down on the sport's core dying demographic of older white men. You instruct teams to hold Caucasian nights celebrating white culture. You eliminate wild card playoff games, pitch clocks, and designated hitters to return to tradition. You lobby the government to make it harder for international players to get visas, and you appoint old white dudes with thready pulses and gray faces to every single important position of leadership in the game. You ban Latin American players from wearing jewelry or getting tattoos that represent their countries of origin. You look at the hordes of older white fans driving in from the exurbs and packing stadium after stadium, and the wall-to-wall media coverage of your antics, and bask in self-satisfaction. You suddenly have a million followers on Twitter, most of whom aren't even baseball fans, but rather people who seem to enjoy human suffering. Baseball gets a little dead cat bounce, but the future still looks grim. If betting on a dying core demographic, deliberately alienating young people, and delighting in open, unapologetic racism seems like a total genius move to you, you're going to love the strategy of the contemporary Republican Party in the United States. There's really no way to sugarcoat this. The GOP is getting clobbered so badly in the competition for young voters that the party's future looks bleaker than an episode of The Handmaid's Tale. The MIT grad has been sitting next to party leaders for years now, reading exit polls and surveys and results in election after election, warning about the extinction-level political event hurtling their way to no avail. The chimerical victory of Donald Trump in the 2016 election and his transformation of the Republican Party from the, wink-wink, super-secret electoral home of America's racists to an open, frothing, white power organization with fond linkages to every authoritarian, right-wing nationalist group on the planet has momentarily rescued the GOP from its demographic destiny. The Trump era has given hope to reactionaries who have long dreamed of reimposing their vision of white male dominance on the country and legitimacy to a long list of far-right crackpots who once operated at the margins of society. And if Trump and the Republicans were polling ahead, or even respectably, with young people, I'd be genuinely worried as I scroll through property listings in Ontario. but they aren't. Even as the U.S. economy hummed along with its lowest levels of unemployment in 40 years, as the stock market reached new heights, the Republican Party remains about as popular as tooth extraction with everyone under the age of 40. They see America as a society dominated by conservatives since their parents were children, and blame baby boomers and Gen Xers for systematically looting the country and burning down the bridges that once led to success and prosperity immediately after crossing them. Once upon a time, you could pursue affordable higher education for next to nothing, support a family, and buy a house with a few years of hard work and savings. Now you have to take out 50 grand in crippling loans just to get through college, even at many flagship state universities that were once effectively free, and the world that confronts you when you get out is harrowing. The best jobs are in major cities, where everything feels upcharged. Real wages in many industries haven't increased in decades, and more of your limited income gets eaten up by healthcare costs and housing, even as your callous elders mock you for the avocado toast and lattes that you can't afford and don't buy anyway. Worse, too many people over the age of 45 seem not to get it. They don't understand why they can't call you hot lips anymore, or make jokes about Polish people, or imitate foreign accents, and they are outraged at the idea of a woman being the lead in the new James Bond movie, and they think older brothers and dads exist to protect the virtue of young women, and they quietly, or not so quietly since the election of Trump, believe that the plight of poor folks and minorities is their own fault because they don't work hard enough and that young people are snowflakes who were given participation trophies just for showing up and whose brains were warped in childhood by parents who told them how special they were and that kids should know what the world is really like and that most of them are not special at all and they should not be told fairy tales about equality and justice. And they are tired of having their Thanksgiving soliloquies about Ronald Reagan ruined by the sour attitude of their kids' punk social justice warrior girlfriend or boyfriend, and they have nothing against Muslims or Africans. They were nice to one of them just last week. But they think it's all gone too far, and that somewhere soon they're going to encounter a transgender Syrian activist in the bathroom, and that's why they voted for Trump. And even though sometimes he should shut up on Twitter and stop whining, everything he is doing is basically fine and overdue, and maybe the kids will understand someday, even if they don't now. It's all for their own good. Well, the reality is that every minute, about 20 people who think like that draw their final breath and expire, and then they are simultaneously replaced in the eligible voting pool by an 18-year-old with a Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, membership, and a Jacobin subscription, and an unsustainably high college tuition bill, and in the general population by another baby that will have something like a 67% chance of growing up to be a leftist. The basic dynamic is a Republican Party increasingly dominated by and aligned with a dying white demographic, and a Democratic Party that is not exactly beloved, but is grudgingly supported come election time by overwhelming majorities of young people who haven't yet voted in numbers sufficient enough to make anyone take notice. And it is in the process of transforming our politics in ways long dreamed about by Democratic strategists and theorists whose visions of demographic destiny may be accelerated by the galloping stupidity, insufferable, unearned arrogance, and legendary incompetence of the Trump administration. That American politics is on the verge of a major disruption is, and should be, pretty hard to believe. The United States has been described for decades as closely divided politically, and the description today is still quite apt. Neither party's candidate has won more than 53% of the vote in a presidential election since 1988. Three of the past four presidents have taken office after winning less than 50% of the vote. Attitudes are so hardened that the correlation of voting outcomes in states from one presidential election to the next is extraordinarily high. The country has been so closely divided for so long that wild and dramatic swings from Democrats to Republicans and back in midterm elections are the norm rather than the exception. Neither party seems to get more than 5 minutes to govern before a pitchfork-wielding rage mob shows up to toss them out of office at the very next election. Just as it seemed like one party was consolidating its grip on power, as when Republicans won their third straight presidential election in 1988, or when Democrats swept to power in back-to-back landslides in 2000.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?